Can I have all the ladies stand in the room? All the ladies. It's not on? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you? Can you, for real?
Yeah, real.
Maybe a little bit more volume.
Yeah.
Test. Can you hear me? There we go. All right. Well, ladies, we want to honor all of you in the house and just acknowledge your significance, your importance to the world, to your families, to this church family. Every one of you are significant, and we bless you. And we pray today is a day of celebration where you are honored and treasured for the person you are, the treasure that you are, all that you carry. And I mean that. Every person in this room, every woman in this room, you are treasured. You are valuable. And we bless you. I just want to declare this over you and read this to you, so just receive this. So to those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and wear the badge of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss this year through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, and spiritual moms, we need you. Amen. It's right on. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who experience abuse at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who lived through driving tests, hallelujah, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better off for having you in our midst. To those who have emptier nests in the coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. And those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. And this Mother's Day, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst, and we remember you. God bless you, moms. God bless you. Would you just lay hands? Yeah, amen. Yeah, give it up for moms. Come on. Ladies, keep standing. Just lay a hand on a lady next to you real quick and just bless them. I mean, hey, listen, because we're really not religious around here, you need to pray like the most audacious, gaudy, unbelievable, God-size blessing. Just go for it. Just like, Lord, go for it. Just total blessing. Lord, reward and honor and celebration. We just pour it out. We pour out, Lord, jubilee over each of these ladies, God. We thank you for them. Thank you for the treasure that they are, Lord. We just bless them today. Like over the top, unapologetic, huge blessing. God, we celebrate these ladies, and Lord, we just bless them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, just God-sized blessing. God-sized blessing. I feel like there's some in the room right now that you're actually struggling with the idea that you're worthy enough for like this immense, huge, like over the top blessing. blessing. And we just cut that off of you right now. We just declare to you that you are deserving. You are deserving of incredible blessing. Because you serve a God who loves you, and you have a big brother, Christ Jesus, who represents you to the Father and says, give it to him, God. And that same Jesus said, because I go to the Father, I give you the Holy Spirit, and he will take of what is mine and give it to you. And so listen, because Jesus has it all, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen, he said the Holy Spirit would take what is his and give it to you. So we just bless you with that. We bless you with that in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Yeah. We bless you, moms. We bless you. Well, I want to start my message portion with a quick video, if that's okay. Can we do that?
Yes.
Go ahead and roll the video, and this is for you, moms. The gifts continue. Look at that.
Yeah.
This one goes out to moms. On behalf of all the kids in the world, here are two things every mom needs to know. Number one, put down your phone, unless your kid is named phone. Number two, don't name your kid phone. That's just not right. That's messed up. Number three, we love you. It's just sometimes we don't know how to say it. Sometimes it just comes out screaming or crying. But the next time your kid screams, you know what they're really saying is, I love you, Mom. You're beautiful. Thank you for not naming me phone. Four, stop cleaning. Our house is messy. Our house is awesome. It's awesome because we live in it. My mom got stuff to do. Number five, mom upside down is wow. Doesn't really mean anything, but I just thought it was really cool. Wow, it should be like this. Wow, 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 wow. Number six, why do I have you here? I want to take a second and talk about meatloaf. Meatloaf's like a loaf of bread, but it's meat. Mom, we love you, but let's cool it on the meatloaf. Number seven, thank you for cleaning up all the poop. Number eight, have fun for lunch. We love to see you have fun. Dance in the grocery store. I found all this stuff. Or sing in the middle of a driveway. Oh, it'll feel great. And then it'll scare your kids so much, they'll be quiet. Number nine, hug more, shout less. Look, I get it. Sometimes we do some things wrong. But growing up is scary. There's school, there's tests, there's telling times with clocks that have hands, there's time your shoes, and kilograms and kilograms.
Kilograms?
But that's why I go to school. It's just hard to grow up. Sometimes we just need moms to tell us everything's okay. Number 10, the secret to changing the world, moms. Without moms, none of us would be here. Moms, kids love you, and you. If every mom in the world knew how awesome they were, every problem in the world would be fixed. From kids everywhere, thanks for believing in us, putting up with us, and straight up loving us. Mom, you keep us dancing. Someone who's been an awesome mom to you. Let them know you wouldn't be here without them. Keep present out.
How many know we should have received the offering right now? Amen? Doesn't get better than that, man. I'm telling you. This is good stuff. Yeah. Awesome. Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. We'll be there in just a second. Two things need to happen. Number one, grab somebody's hand. We're going to take 30 seconds, and we're going to bless LifeSpring Church, which is a church in our city, and all the churches in Moore Park are praying for LifeSpring Church right now. So would you bless LifeSpring? Go ahead, 30 seconds, all at once. Just pray blessing over LifeSpring Church. Go ahead. Father, we bless them. Lord, we ask that you provide for all their needs, that God, you would pour out your Spirit upon that congregation, that you would strengthen Pastor Tony, Lord, and his team, and every person that calls LifeSpring their home. We bless them. We bless them with encounters with you, God, fresh encounters with the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you would bless them in the work of their hands, that the vision you've placed in their heart would become a reality. In Jesus' name, God, provide for all their needs, God. We bless them today in Jesus' name. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you're visiting this morning, you're probably wondering why we're all big on this declaration thing, and I understand that could be different if you're not used to that. We just believe that the kingdom of God functions off of declaration. In other words, if you take the earth realm and royalty and kingdoms in the earth realm, nothing ever happens in a kingdom unless the king decrees something. But when that decree is given, there are those who are commissioned with the assignment to take that decree and make it known. In other words, to come into agreement with that decree. And so, I understand this could sound a little close to just, kind of name it and claim it. That's not our heart. We want to align ourselves with the King of all kings. And again, without giving a whole teaching on declaration, if it matches the spirit or even the letter of the word, we say go for it. I mean, just go for it. The kingdom is based on declaration. That's why we do that. So thank you for joining with us in that. Okay? This Wednesday night, if you were not there last Wednesday, and I'm not saying this because she's in the room this morning, but this is heartfelt. If you missed Dr. Storm's class last Wednesday night on breaking out of the four walls of the church to be equipped to take kingdom with you in all the marketplace, how many know, first of all, that is like a major assignment on our house? That I don't know what other churches' visions are, and we bless those, but this church, we are called to transform our community. And that doesn't happen by just wishful thinking. It doesn't even happen just by prayer. How many know you have to put action with prayer, marry the two, and see kingdom be released? Well, and let me just tell you this much too. Please look this way. Here's what I know about life in the Lord, and really it's practical on any level. Once you begin to practice a certain thing, you realize how much more equipping you need in that area. So in other words, brain surgery for me, because I don't do any of it, I have no desire to be equipped in that area. But how many know once I started that, or if I started that, I would need all the equipment in the world, because I know zero. And so what I'm saying there is to activate that part of our life, which we're all called to be just kingdom advancers. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Just to activate that part of our life, we need equipping. And I'm telling you, it is first-class teaching.
Amen.
Anything Dr. Storms brings, and you've tasted of her ministry, you will walk away equipped. So I can't encourage you enough. Fountain Family, please make the effort, make the sacrifice in your schedule to be here for the next three Wednesday nights, and you will be equipped radically. By what God does there. So I beg of you, please take advantage of that class, all right?
Yes.
Thank you. I want to talk about faith this morning, and I want to talk about, first of all, how faith is so misunderstood oftentimes. And faith, how many know faith sometimes can be a scary topic? Only because there's been, I think, misunderstanding and misguided teaching on the topic. I want to just first start by saying faith, really, please hear me, faith becomes a whole lot easier when God is the focus and faith isn't. I think we make it really hard when faith becomes the focus. And we say, and there has been teaching, you don't have enough faith. And so we try to work up faith, we try to study faith, we try to somehow build up this faith thing. And I'll get to a scripture, obviously, in the Word that talks about building up our most holy faith. But how many know that if I concentrate on faith as a subject in of itself, I'm trying to get this faith thing going, like I really have this huge assignment before me, Lord, or a great opportunity before me, and I just don't feel like I have enough faith. So faith becomes the focus. How many know I'm missing the mark there?
Yeah.
I could really work hard at developing something in faith and maybe get somewhere, but let me just tell you, it becomes like your faith level becomes so much bigger and growing in faith becomes so much easier when faith isn't the focus and God is. I want to tell you, I really believe we serve such an awesome God that he actually, listen to this, he actually gives us his faith in, through which to function. I want you just to sit on that real quick. God is so good that he calls us to believe. The word says without faith, it's impossible to please him. How many of we can misunderstand that too and just kind of beat ourselves up? Well, yeah, no wonder God's upset with me. I don't have enough faith. And how many of that's not the heart of that at all?
Yeah.
There's an invitation. God is saying, listen, I am moved by faith. But I love you so much and I'm so good to you that I actually will give you my faith through which to operate. I will gift you my faith. So it's not left on you. It's actually me who's helping you believe in me.
Yes.
Some aren't convinced, so let's get to the word. All right, look at Mark 5. Look at Mark 5. So if you're visiting today, we are in a series on the Gospels where we're taking every miracle of Jesus to just sow into our house how normal miracles, signs, and wonders should be in the life of the believer. So Mark 5, verse 21. Matthew, Mark, and Luke each combine these two miracles together because they're happening simultaneously. They're some of the most famous miracles that you've read about. But it says that in verse 21, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. How many of you see faith there?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus went with him. I'm tempted to just teach at this point. I'm going to read through the word. Here we go. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, really to herself, she thought, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately, everybody say immediately.
Immediately
the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Listen to that. She felt something significant happen and move in her body. I don't know how this happens. I'm sure some of you have too. How many know you could feel when something has left, an injury, a pain, a sickness, something has left. All you know is it was there before and it's not anymore. And I'm talking even before you test it. You just know in your knower, something's happened in my body. How do you understand that? That's exactly what she's experiencing at this point. She says she felt in her body that she was healed. In verse 30, and Jesus, also immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, somebody say faith, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the rulers of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Everybody say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately the girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. I love that part. Somebody say hallelujah. I just believe miracles, signs, and wonders and food go together. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. When Kevin Dedman was here, he told a story about going to a church, and the pastor took him out to like the equivalent of Tommy's Burger for his first meal. And when they were done, Kevin said to the pastor, if you keep the comfort food coming, I'll promise you miracles. Hallelujah. I love that. Thank you, God. Talk about two desperate, absolutely desperate situations. It doesn't get any worse than that. A woman with a severe condition for 12 years. I can't imagine 12 years of shame, 12 years of frustration and disappointment, 12 years of spending everything you can out of desperation only to have doctors experiment with you and they can't solve it. I mean that story is it's lived today. The 12 years, and in that same scenario, you have this father whose 12-year-old daughter is on the brink of death. I mean, it doesn't get worse than that. And both come to Jesus, and both have this faith thing. And I just, as a dad myself, I've got to kind of project a little bit. If you give me freedom to do that, I understand it's not always good to take this type of license with Scripture, but I don't think it's a hard connect to think that a parent whose child is on the verge of dying, that how many know there's got to be something in that parent, that there's got to be some fear happening, some anxiety happening. I want to paint this picture. You don't have a dad who is so faith-filled that he walks up to Jesus and just says, I know you're going to do this. I mean, I think there was something in there, but how many know there had to have been a war taking place in this father where there was both the belief enough to come to Jesus and fall at his feet saying, Lord, I know if you come, she'll be well. But warring against that is the heart of a father who's concerned that I might lose a 12-year-old daughter. How many just know that that has to be happening?
Yeah.
Three of you. Bless God. All right. So I just got to believe that's taking place at this scene. And so the first thing I just want to say is this. Listen, I don't believe that God is really impressed with the size of our faith.
That's right.
Like if you have 99% faith, God bless you. You rock. You're awesome. I really mean that. Come teach the rest of this message, please. That's incredible. I just got to believe, though, that in my heart, I just got to believe that if you have 1% faith, like if there's something hanging on in your heart that says, God, I'm leaving room for you to move and act, that's just as impressive to God as a 99%er.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm saying, where is that in the Bible? I'll tell you where it is. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the smallest in that time, the smallest of all known seeds. I think we've done some damage in the body of Christ teaching on this whole faith thing as though faith's the point. And friends, listen, it is essential, but it's not the point. The God whom we have faith in is the point.
Yes, sir.
If you want faith to increase, I want to have some fun with this morning because it's actually, I mean, it's really all of the believer's life. If you want faith to increase, like really where we need to start is in his presence. And it sounds so cliche. But friend, I'm just telling you right now, if you want faith to increase, it starts by being in his presence, living a lifestyle of abiding in him. Our faith will grow to the level that we abide in him.
Yeah. That's good.
So another way to put this, if I don't know, let's say Mary and I were going out to dinner tonight, and we were desperate for a babysitter, and you came and you had this perfect person that you really knew and instruct us that this would be a great move for us. But we don't know this person. They're a total stranger. How many know our faith level at that moment is really, like, really low?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Like, really low. You might know them. That's all great that they've been good for you. But we don't know this person from Adam. We're going to trust our kids in their care. How many, like, because there's no relationship or knowledge, I'm like at a level 0 to 5. But if I were to spend time with this person, listen, and we were hanging out, like we were, for lack of a better word, I was abiding with them in their presence, got to know them. How many of them, my faith level in them begins to increase? Our faith level will match the size of our abiding in his presence. It'll go hand in hand with that. So faith isn't really the point. Listen, Jesus is, and hanging out with a God who's so in love with us and is so capable, I've got to believe this, that Jesus, there wasn't one situation, no matter how drastic it was, that intimidated Jesus. Why? Because he knew the size of his Father was greater than the size of that problem. So here's like two drastic situations that if we don't know how big God is, the largeness of the problem can seem intimidating to us. Like, how would you like to be greeted on a missions trip? The first thing you get off the plane or you get off the bus, and the first thing you're hit with is a desperate father saying, "My daughter's about to die unless you do something with it." How many know that's a great start to a mission trip? Amen?
Yeah.
And how many know that in that moment, if I'm not convinced in the goodness of God or his size and how capable he is, like, not just convinced up here where I know he can do something, but I know him so well and I know his character, I know what he's capable of, that he will do something. Like, there's a difference there. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So there's a stance that I can live. I can live close enough to God where I know that he can do things, or I can live in his presence where I'm convinced what he does. I'm not sure that we're getting this morning. Do me a favor. Take like 10 seconds. There's a lot of distraction in the room right now. Just take 10 seconds with me and just take authority over that thing, would you? Just go ahead. Go for it. I think this is so important. There's just stuff in the air that we just say no to you in Jesus' name. We're asking for help, Holy Spirit, for revelation to just land in our heart in Jesus' name. Whatever that thing is in the air or wanting to distract or, Lord, keep us from hearing you, we just say no to that, and we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, help us now in Jesus' name." Let's give it another shot. So, it really is, this whole faith thing, really, it really is an outflow. It's an outflow of our closeness, our awareness of what God is capable of. Jesus, because he lived out of the presence, from the presence. Because he lived from that place. Listen, he didn't go to the presence just to get a drink of water now and then. How many realize he lived out of the presence of the Father? There was this abiding from the presence of God that Jesus lived from, not towards. Are you with me?
Yeah.
That because he lived from that place, there wasn't a situation, no matter how large it was, that confronted him, that like took his breath away. Like this might be the one that's too big. Jesus gets off the boat and is hit with this, dramatic news. "My daughter is at the point of death. I need you to come." As he's walking, and I love it, he immediately turns his attention to the man. He doesn't question. He doesn't pause. Because listen, God is moved by faith, not by need.
That's good.
I wish I could tell you that just, I wish I could tell you that God was just moved by need, that I came and just, I kind of just, forgive me, but threw up my need list every time I had a need. I wish I could tell you that was enough to move him. While God is concerned about everything that concerns you, are you listening to me? God is concerned about everything that concerns you, but he's not moved by need, he is moved by faith. If he was moved by need, how many know there wouldn't be any poor people or poor nations in the world? And so there's some that need to hear this word, and I give it to you as a loving leader this morning, not condemning, but listen, some of us, we need to step away from our need-based prayers and ask God to help us step into a place of faith in him. Like, God, help me, and I believe, but help my unbelief type of prayer. Listen, because when we pray need-based prayers, we're so focused on us and the need, we're prevented from focusing on his capability. Yeah. And so we'll live a lifestyle, if we're need-based, if we live out of need, we'll live a lifestyle where we're trying to convince God how huge our need is in hopes that we're almost manipulating him to come and do something on our behalf. Yeah. I'm just know that God will never be manipulated.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Please hear me. Somebody who lives from that need-based place, that they will live a lifestyle of complaining and griping and building a case against God because they're just focused on the need. It's the what about Bob? I need, right? Are you with me?
Yes.
God wants to take us, listen, out of need and into this place of faith. The man comes, how many know there's a great need?
Yeah.
But he comes and he says, Jesus, I know that if you come and touch her, she'll be made well. And it's that place of faith where the Father instantly, or Jesus instantly has turned to her and said, let's go. I love that he immediately, faith is that draws him. Now, on the way, it's the woman with the issue of the blood. How many know that there were probably hundreds, dozens of people who brushed up against Jesus in that journey? How would you like to be like the 99, let's say there were 100 people, the 99 who you're just as close and there's a throng, you're excited that Jesus is in the house and you're brushing up against, but nothing happens in your situation? How many know those are the people that probably should have shrunk a little bit when Jesus turned and said, I felt power go out. Who touched me? I felt power leave my body. Like, if I'm in that place and I wasn't the one who got touched, I'm thinking something's wrong with me. I remember, I've shared this story before, but it's one of the most vivid examples of something like this, where Jesus was so vivid, was so real to a community that it was just breathtaking. But here's what happened. I was a young person. We were in Mexico doing the week-long Mexico trip. And it was the one day you take showers back in those days. Hallelujah. Midweek, a bunch of teenagers doing the one shower trip. And there was a young man in our youth group named Nathan. Nathan Heatherly, who 6'4", loved Jesus radically, and stood out for a lot of reasons. But here's what I remember. If I remember youth group days, I remember about 120 kids, and the 6'4", lanky guy, just every time we gathered, just worshiping Jesus with everything he had. I mean, just going for it, worshiping, pressing into the presence of God. And I mean to tell you, more than anybody in the room. And this trip happens, we're doing the shower thing, and I get out, I'm walking back to the bus, and I see this crowd of locals and a few of our students in this huddle, and so I go over to see what's going on. There's this man who is asking for prayer for his sister who's sick and dying, and he's about ready to go see her. And so we begin to pray. Nathan comes out after me, and we're praying, we're doing everything we can, we're calling down heaven to invade this situation, all of that. Nathan comes, doesn't even say a word, he just begins to pray, and the guy looks at Nathan, and it was like biblical times, makes his way through the crowd and embraces Nathan, puts his head on his chest and weeps and says, there's something about you. There's something about you. I mean, I like wanted to back away and just kind of hop in the van and do one of these things, right? I mean, he didn't do that with me. I connected the dots. Here's this young man who's so passionate and so drawn, living in the presence of God, that Jesus just beamed and reflected off of him.
Yes.
There was something in that woman, so hungry, so desiring God to move in her situation, faith, that it drew power out of Jesus to heal her. How many know she was healed on accident? Jesus feels power and says, who touched me? Like, I wasn't prepared for this one. I'm on my journey to do something else. Somebody, by your faith, drew power out of my body, and who are you? I don't want to live in a place like that where the faith in us is actually literally pulling God into our circumstance. It's drawing him into our circumstance to move on our behalf. Listen, faith is not going to happen by you working on faith. I'm trying to believe God more. Faith's going to happen by you investing time in his presence, learning the character of God, how good he is and what he's capable of, where you're convinced God will, not that he can. He will.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So they get to the house, and Jesus, I think this technique is so awesome. How many know there's not always strength in numbers? Jesus gets to the house, and there's this room full of people who are wailing and mourning and doing what you would do if somebody had just died. They're overwhelmed with grief, and you know, how many know pastors are taught that's okay, just kind of like love them and counsel them and pat them on the back, it's going to be okay, right? Here's Jesus' approach: get all these people out of here. Right, so he cleans house, brings in a few disciples with them, and I love that he keeps the mom and dad, because again, I just think there's enough hope in parents for their child that God might do something. He keeps them, and sure enough, it's in that context, this little girl's raised from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth, how many know that name?
Yeah.
I've read Smith Wigglesworth, and the same thing happened in his ministry time. He would come to a house where somebody had just died, and he would clean the air, the atmosphere, listen, of unbelief. He would just clean the house, say, I need everybody out of here, to just clean the environment, atmosphere of unbelief, so that God could show up and be drawn to some person's faith.
Yeah.
And it was in that context he would lay hands on people and they would be raised from the dead. I just want to talk to you real quick about unbelief. You know what unbelief is? Listen, unbelief is the fruit that people are meditating on the wrong thing. Unbelief is a fruit that somebody is meditating on the wrong thing. In other words, how many of you have ever worried before? Anybody in this room? If you've ever worried, you know how to meditate. You're just meditating on the wrong thing.
That's right. That's good.
Unbelief, listen, unbelief speaks to you, and literally what we do is we feed ourselves on doubt, disappointment, that brings disillusionment and hardness to our heart. That's literally unbelief is the fruit. It's living in that place where I'm reminding myself what God didn't do. Or I'm reminding myself of all the stories I've heard of, how difficult this situation is and where it ended up. I'm so focused and feeding myself on those things that it literally blocks out my place of belief. I begin to believe all the other things that I've heard and seen, and I'm not really cueing my heart in to hear what God says about the matter. And so unbelief is a deadly thing in our walk with God. How many understand that?
Yeah.
I just want to encourage you to actually, I mean, be violent against unbelief.
Yeah.
Not even give that thing an inch in your heart. Whenever you feel in your spirit something rising up in you that begins to doubt or question the goodness of God, that you would be violent in standing against that thing. It's deadly. It is deadly. I want to say this too. Fear is another anti-faith, unbelief heart position. I know that fear does the same thing faith does, but in the opposite. Listen, fear does the same thing faith does, but in the opposite. They both see. They both interpret. They both set an atmosphere and environment. Faith attracts heaven. How many know that fear attracts darkness? Listen, faith sees things that aren't as though they are. So does fear. Listen, faith moves us into action. Fear moves us into captivity. Are you okay?
Yes.
Listen, faith believes God. Fear believes lies. I had a pastor say this to me once, and I think it's really good. He said, fear makes God out to be a liar. Put a smile on your face. This is like... You okay?
Yes.
I remember my greatest battle with fear. Fear has been an enemy that I want to say I've gotten the upper hand finally. Praise God. But it's been a nemesis of mine for a lot of my life, and probably the darkest time that I went through happened. Many of you know this story, but. Where probably one of the greatest disappointments I've had, and how many know it's okay to be disappointed, but don't live there?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be denial to just say, you know, we've never been disappointed even in our journey with God. And I think the greatest disappointment I've had a journey through, was when I was youth pastoring my mentor, my father in the faith, Frank Parrish's son, Daniel. You know the story if you've been here before. But at 15, had cancer, and we mobilized our entire youth ministry to pray. I mean, there were prayer vigils happening for him. Frank Parrish's ministry is global. There were people around the globe praying. There were prophetic words coming in that Daniel would live. And after a 9-month battle with cancer, he died. And something happened in my moment of disappointment. Something happened in my heart that lodged there, and I mean, it took years to overcome. And so I say this to simply say, we want to be vigilant. We want to be violent against unbelief and moments where the enemy would want to creep in to have us build a case against God. And in that moment of being disappointed, I remember having this thought. How many know, hindsight, I would now do it this way. But the thought came in, and it said, if God would allow this young man to die, a son of somebody who's having influence in the world, who are you that God would protect you? How many know where that thought came from, first of all? But listen, I wasn't prepared in my disappointment to defend myself against it, and I ran with that. Believed it and wrestled it for, I would like to tell you, weeks, days, or months. I mean, about 3 years. This fear in me that if God didn't do it, he didn't answer prayer then, he won't do it again. And if I could do it differently, listen, the second that thought would come in, man, I would run to Papa God with that and say, that is not your character. That's not your heart. I disagree with that thought. I choose to believe you and your goodness rather than that lie and where it came from. I just want to pray for you this morning that faith is just released over you. That we would be a generation of faith. But listen, not faith because somehow we just stumble upon it. Faith because we are aggressive at living from the presence of God. Just that we would become experts in his character and not what he can do, but what he will do.
Yeah.
Are you all right with that? Can we stand? Let's just stand real quick and lay your hand on somebody next to you. We're going to dismiss in 2 minutes. Just lay your hand on somebody next to you and just bless them right now. Just say, Father, I'm blessing them with a new level of faith capacity. Lord, I'm blessing my neighbor right now with times of intentional intimacy with you, God, where we come to a new understanding, a new revelation of the goodness of God and of your power what you're capable of, what you want to do. Lord, we just release right now over this room greater levels, God, of intimacy with you. In Jesus' name. I'm asking, Lord, that we would wake up in this hour, Lord, where the TV would be turned off. Lord, where other things that just suck our time would simply, Lord, fade off. And Lord, we would be more intentional than ever before at spending time in your presence. Just gazing upon you, listening to your voice, God. Lord, we just release right now intimacy. Just release that over your neighbor. Intimacy, God. New, Lord, times. Fresh times of just living in your presence, God. Abiding with you and abiding in you, God. We just say yes to that in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking right now, just pray this. Lord, I'm asking for an increased ability to hear your voice. God, an increased ability right now that our tuners would be adjusted and fine-tuned to get revelation from heaven, to hear your voice, God, speaking in these hours that we live in Jesus' name. God, we just release, Lord, right now a better ability, Lord, in all of us to hear your voice and to know your voice. Look up here real quick. Romans 10 talks about faith comes by hearing. That's a whole other teaching, but get the Reader's Digest version. Here it is. Faith comes by hearing. Almost a new sentence. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Now listen, oftentimes we teach that word means logos. That word is actually rhema. Now listen, here's what this means. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing rhema words that come from the mouth of God to you. I'm all for being in the Word. How many of the logos can become rhema to us? Right? Amen. And so if that happens, amen. But look, don't cut off the supernatural component to God speaking to you and declaring prophetically over your life. Faith, listen, the ability to believe God comes by hearing. We've got to hear, adjust our tune to hear what? To hear His voice. There is life in the voice. We've got to tune our tuner in. God, what are you saying in this hour? Lord, what are you saying about the news I just got? Lord, what are you saying about the situation I find myself in? I want to hear your voice because faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing rhema, the Word of God. Hearing your word, your spoken word over the situation. How many know that when we hear from heaven, confidence should rise up in us? God, I have a new game plan here. Papa God just spoke to me and gave me the blueprint. I just bless you with that in Jesus' name. God bless you. Hey, give somebody a hug and you're dismissed. We'll see you later.